He's wearing a Roddy Collins jacket. He's got his teeth done like Ross from Friends. He's looking magnificent, and he's ready to go.
Just for the pod, lads.
Just for the pod.
Download the OTB Sports app and subscribe to the GAA podcast feed now.
It is 20 minutes past nine. It's time for us to welcome Ronan Mullen to the show. Ronan, good morning to you.
Hey, lads. How's it going?
Yeah, good. So, Katie Taylor's fighting this weekend. I'm not going to lie. I had a little look after her interview with Donald McRae at the odds of her opponent, because the conversation wasn't about Sharapova, and although she said all the right stuff, there was a long-term plan in place. And we all know in boxing, when you start making long-term plans, that something punches you in the mouth. So how good an opponent is Sharapova for Katie Taylor this weekend?
Well, you compare it to the last fight she had against Jennifer Han, and on paper they're quite similar in the sense that both mandatory opponents, not exactly household names either. And the Han fight, as we spoke about on the show around that time, was quite underwhelming build up. The fight itself was rather underwhelming, and I think Katie was underwhelmed by it, to be frank. She was basically saying Han didn't come to win. She was quite negative in her approach. She went there to survive, and that's what she did in Leeds. What you can say about Sharapova is, while she's probably similarly untested at this level, she's got the punch power to trouble Katie. She's got that come forward aggression that Katie has possibly struggled with in the past against other opponents. And she's definitely coming to win. You look at her social media utterances and some of the other things she's saying. She said she'd knock out Katie Taylor, Conor McGregor on the same night, this kind of thing. So at least she's bringing that sort of brashness and bravado to proceedings. So in that sense, I think Katie can get up for this one a bit more. And as we've touched on probably ad nauseum for the listeners over the last few years, the Amanda Serrano fight looks like it will be resurrected for springtime. So that's a very appetizing card for Katie should she come through this one. Serrano fights on December 18. If they both come through these, I think it's all but done for New York in the spring.
For New York, okay, that's interesting, because we weren't sure where that was going to be in the end. New York kind of suits everybody, really. There'd be a massive Irish crowd there.
Yeah, there was some implication. I think it was more fans trying to get the fever up that possibly you could pair up Michael Conlon's world title fight, which is also kind of being mooted for March, and have them both in the big room at Madison Square Garden, which would, needless to say, would have been an amazing occasion. I'm not sure the dates are going to quite tally up in that regard. So I think Katie probably looking more around April. Like, come what may, I think it will be stateside. I think New York would be the number one target for it. But as we know, Katie's fought in, you know, she's fought in Philadelphia, Boston, all along the East Coast. She's fought elsewhere in the US. So I think that's probably her home base, as it were, from a pro boxing point of view. So I think she'd be happy enough to go into Serrano's backyard, and that, like, not to move away from the fight upcoming, but I think if this fight was made a couple of years ago between Taylor and Serrano, I think Taylor would have been a prohibitive favourite. Now I think Serrano's put a nice little run together, and I think it's probably closer to 50-50 than it ever was if they meet next year.
What else is on the Katie Taylor medium to long term checklist other than beating Amanda Serrano?
It's a difficult one. Like, I kind of think of the Tom Brady comparison with Taylor, whereby she talks about fighting until she's 40. And a couple of years ago, I was kind of dismissing that as maybe putting that time frame out there so that people don't keep asking her, like, how long are you going to do it for? How long are you going to do it for? But now I very much get the impression she's serious about that. So beyond Serrano, there are other marquee opponents like Jessica McCaskill, who she's beaten in the past and has since put a pretty impressive run together. So Katie beating her would basically make her another division of to conquer onto her belt. So I think that's kind of what she's thinking in that regard. But I think Serrano is the prime focus for the moment. Like, she's dealt with the Delphine Pursoon rivalry for now. There are other maybe up and coming fighters like Chantel Cameron that she could face. But I think it definitely is a medium to long term plan for Katie at the moment. I'm not getting the impression yet that she's ready to check out.
How dangerous is it for us to be having these conversations? Because if we're having them and everybody else is having them, like, we know boxing is not random, you know. On balance, the best fighter wins, but it is a sport where your opponent can hit you with one punch and that's the end of it.
Absolutely. Like, this has been the year of the underdog as well. Like, we need not look further than our own Kiko Martinez. Can we claim him? I think we can claim him. He's kind of quasi-Irish at this stage, but he is world champion again. Like, out of nowhere, knocked out Kid Galahad a few weeks ago as a rank outsider in Kid Galahad's hometown. He's once again world champion. So Kiko, and then probably the fight of the year, upset of the year, George Kambosos beating Teofimo Lopez. Again, unbelievable. Nobody would have picked it beforehand. So while sometimes in boxing, sometimes you don't know until you know kind of thing. And I think Sharapova, though she hasn't been tested, has, like, in theory, a decent, like, medley of talent that could possibly trouble Taylor. I'm not going to say she's going to win, but she got punching power. Like, she's over half her wins have been by stoppage. And she's got Sofia Achagava in her corner, in the sense that she's been in training camp with her for the last few weeks and months. So she's got the kind of blueprint to maybe give Taylor some problems. So I think in that sense, there is levels of intrigue to this that possibly wouldn't be present for Kit Taylor's other mandatory defences. So it's definitely one worth tuning in for on Saturday, I think. And if it does set the table for Serrano in March or April, I think all the better.
One of the issues is... Go on.
Sorry, I was going to ask, is there like a 10-year anniversary of Achagava-Taylor fight on the cards next year, potentially?
Well, Achagava, it's a funny one. Like, I think she made her debut a few months before Taylor made her pro debut, which was what, 5 years ago in November there. And she's only, like, she's going to fight on Christmas Day, Achagava. That'll be her sixth pro fight, I think. So she's kind of really spaced out her pro prospects so far. But I think it's definitely one that could be easily resurrected if both of them were minded to do so, because I think they're quite cordial outside the ring from my experience, but it's more like Achagava just can't get over the London Olympics, whether she's got merit to that argument or not. She's kind of was surprised visibly in the ring that she didn't get the decision and has been talking about it for the decade since. So I think there's definitely an inbuilt narrative if they wanted to get it on, but it's a helpful one to have for this fight upcoming, because Sharapova has been leaning on it, saying nobody knows how to beat Katie Taylor better than Achagava. She's got the blueprint, these kinds of things. The only thing, and Taylor's flagged it herself, Achagava and Sharapova are polar opposites in terms of styles. Like, Achagava was an elite technician, whereas Sharapova is more of a come-forward fighter and will be looking to trouble Taylor with big shots rather than, like, crisp counters or this kind of thing. So while there's probably some reason that she's dropping that name in there, I don't think it's going to be a huge factor come fight night. But for journalists, it's a handy one to have to build the whole thing around.
The Serrano fight, one of the reasons why we were hearing that it wasn't being made up to this was difficulties about agreeing the pre-fight rules and testing and all that kind of stuff. Has all that been parked, Ronan, as far as you know? Is the current information that everybody will sign up to whatever pre-fight requirements are expected of fighters at this level?
Yeah, well, that's one of many issues that's kind of hampered this fight. Like, this, in theory, this should have been made 3 years ago, but it finally came together for May of 2020. So that would have been just as the pandemic had started. So that's kind of why it was scuppered. It was then refixed for August of 2020. And Serrano basically saying the terms have changed, you know, because there's no fans in attendance, she's not getting the money she had signed up for kind of thing. And then Delphine Persoon stepped into the breach and so on. So that's kind of changed. The testing shouldn't be an issue for the moment. Also, the Jake Paul side of things, where Amanda Serrano is under Jake Paul's auspices at the moment. He's basically her promoter by all intents and purposes. So that's kind of given her a bit of leverage that she didn't have before, where Katie has the power formerly of Sky Sports, now of DAZN, and obviously Matchroom, Eddie Hearn, the behemoth that has become. So she always had the negotiating power. Now I think that's a little bit more even as well. So there's probably no reason this can't happen. And like I see, as mentioned, the cordial relationship between Achagava and Taylor, like Serrano and Katie didn't like each other, and I still probably don't, but you see Serrano liking her stuff on social media and vice versa. So there's kind of an understanding that it's in both of their best interests to get this on, because it could, in the ring, it's probably the best fight that can be made in women's boxing. And I think they're both of a profile whereby it can certainly be built as a mainstream event, a crossover event that can draw in new fans. And I think that's what we all want for boxing.
And £1 million purse for both of them.
Absolutely. And like Taylor, she's in quite a short career, like comparative to what other counterparts may have done that have gotten to this level where she's an undisputed champion, two-weight world champion. She's done it in quite quick fashion. And she's got some really heady names on her record. And I think Serrano would just be the crowning one if she can put that together, because this is another serial world champion who's conquered several divisions. And if Taylor can basically like firm up her credentials as the number one women's boxer of all time, and certainly of this generation, Clarissa Shields and the likes might have something to say about that. But I think if Taylor can get a name like Serrano on a record, that would just copper fasten things.
All right. A question from Mark Dunning on YouTube. When and where does Ronan expect Fury versus White to happen? This is the WBC yesterday ordering the fight in springtime 2022. we keep getting these fights ordered that are going to be grand, as opposed to anybody ordering, well, like, just get the good fights, just get the great fights, because there's a limited amount of time here, lads. Come on, let's do it.
Yeah, well, I'm glad the bureaucracy is done with, because Dillian White's been mandatory challenger for about 20 years at this stage, so I think he's probably due his world title fight. And of the fights on the table for Fury, I think this is the most appetizing one. I think Chris McKenna was reporting they're looking at the Millennium Stadium or the Manchester Arena for that one. So I think it'd be a good homecoming fight for Fury. And White brings, you know, some jeopardy to the thing. I think he's got some tools that can trouble Fury. Like, you've got the specter of the Joshua against Usyk rematch. And there has been some talk in recent weeks that Saudi Arabia are willing to put up the money to give Joshua to step aside and let Fury fight Usyk for all the belts, because that's what we've been trying to have for the last few years, where between Wilder, Fury, Joshua, we couldn't get all the belts on the line. And now we're one fight away from that. So if Fury fights Usyk, we can have one undisputed champion. And yeah, as I said, I think Saudi Arabia were saying, I think Joshua wants something like $40 million to step aside. And who can blame him? Why should he step aside when he can just jump back in the ring with Usyk? So I think the most likely outcome for the moment is that Joshua will fight Usyk in the springtime, and not long after you'll have Fury against White. So we can't ask fairer than that. If those turn out to be semi-finals, yeah, we'll be happy enough when the winners fight each other.
Well, that's the thing. They could turn out to be semi-finals and there could be no final. It could be like one of those FA Cups during the war. It's like, they just didn't play it. Or the All-Ireland in 1880, whatever year. It's like, eventually got played in 1922. Can we guarantee that the winners will fight?
I don't know. Like, to that end, maybe the Saudi Arabian option, not to use this terminology, is the more like appetizing one, where maybe if they can find an agreement with Joshua that he could step aside and let Fury and Usyk fight, and then we could have a de facto champion. Then we know who the number one guy is. Like, Bob Arum has been saying that Tyson Fury would have beaten Muhammad Ali, these kinds of things. And it's hard to argue with Fury's position atop the pedestal in the division at the moment, but in order to really underline it, he has to gather up all the belts. And I think he'd want to do that against Usyk if possible. So that is still in play, I think, and something that I never thought was in play, because Joshua's not so inclined to basically pave the path for the likes of Fury to win belts ahead of him. But I think if the money is plumped up, he would do that, and then we would get what we want in that regard. But I think the fight, belts aside, I think the fight people want to see is Joshua against Fury. So I think, come what may, that will eventually happen. We just don't want it to get to the Lennox Lewis versus Mike Tyson era, where they fight in 5 years' time, and while it does big numbers, nobody really cares anymore.
Or Mayweather Pacquiao, it was too late, and like a plague on all the houses of the people who prevented that from happening. Because
but then you've got Kell Brook against Amir Khan next year, and
exactly.
when this was being talked about, I was like, I don't care. Who cares about that anymore?
Well, now you do.
Then I watched the press conference. I'm like, geez, I love this fight. They're going to be straight up and like each other.
Neither of them were as good as they could have been. Look, maybe the fight will still be amazing, and in 30 years' time, when the short video gets made of their careers, this ends up being part of the highlights reel, and we all forget the fact that it was 5 years too late. But they were of some kind of equal standards at the point where the fight was made, that it's a great fight. I don't know.
Ron, can Tyson Fury recover from the huge family setback that is Tommy Fury's cough and broken rib?
Oh, this has been a nightmare of a promotion from day one, really, hasn't it? I don't know. It just never seemed like it was going to come together. I'm not to cast aspersions on the otherwise ironclad credentials of Tommy Fury, but I just never had an impression this fight was going to happen. And like, while Tyron Woodley, I think, is stepping into the breach to fill in, will he be resurrected next year and come back into the fray? I'm not sure, but the Jake Paul experience is still alive and well-owned, so we don't have to worry about that. That's still the main attraction for boxing fans over the world, I'm sure.
One of the most influential people in boxing is how he keeps getting written about. And look, that's the 2021 for you. Running good stuff. Thanks a million for joining us. Cheers.
Nice one, lads. Thanks.